Hello, welcome to the Double Bonus. My name is Finn. You can find me at FinnDraft on Twitter. And today, I have my guy, long anticipated podcast, Sam Wilson on today. You can find him at double underscore PG on Twitter. He writes some incredible articles. You can find him on his Substack, which I'll also have in the description. How are you doing today, man?
Dude, it's a pleasure to be here. We've been trying to line this up for a while. Sorry, I've been dodgy, so I'm really excited to be on the pod. And we've been going back and forth for the better part of a year, so I'm hyped to contribute to what you've got going on and glad to be a part of it.
Dude, I can't say thank you enough, man. Sam's like seriously one of the chillest dudes on draft Twitter. Like we talked all the time throughout last cycle, and like I'm so grateful that you're on today, man. This has been sick. He knows more about college basketball than I ever will. I mean, he keeps up with guys that like today we're gonna be doing returning sleepers, and Sam sent a list of like there were like five people that I had just not heard of at all, and he knows more about them than anyone else. So I just this is going to be a super fun episode. Do you just want to hop right in?
Yeah, for sure, man. So just in context, there's been a lot of work done on returners of late. We hear about the Phylons of the world, et cetera. I kind of wanted to take a second and discuss 10 guys who I thought were a little bit more under the radar, and some of them more so than others. As you'll see, there's probably one guy on the list who's gotten a lot of motion recently, so maybe he's not even that under the radar. But I kind of wanted to kick it off with one guy who I thought could have declared this past cycle and got drafted, and that's Joshua Jefferson, the big slash wing slash utility knife guy from Iowa State. Started his career at St. Mary's, and his role at Iowa State has really developed over the last 2 years from more of like an ancillary guy to someone who, at times ran the show for them, Finn.
I'm like a really big fan of his profile, really high-end defensive playmaker, good foul drawer as well, shot close to 70% at the rim. What are some things that you like about Jefferson?
Yeah, so he's a big dude, like physical player. Like you said, the defensive playmaking, defensive instincts are there, like probably NBA ready right now to like slot into a system and make some plays. And I think the under-discussed aspect of his game is, he shot 41% on non-rim twos, and I think he tried 50 something threes this year. He didn't make them at a great clip, but like you said, 70% free throw shooter. There's a chance. To the extent that you get a guy like that size, mobility, with that instincts, I think he's someone that 100% should be watched as, an older returner in the class.
Yeah, talk a little bit about his shot because I know that's like the one area of contention with him. I mean, outside of that, he really does have one of the most well-rounded profiles in this class, but he shot like 31% on middling volume. As a returner, you'd hope that he had a little bit of shooting acumen. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But what do you think of his mechanics and like what do you think are some things that are holding him back?
Yeah, his release is a little bit slow and a little bit low. Like, I don't know that he'll ever be able to take contested threes and stuff like that. But with someone like that, you'd hope that you just can't leave them wide open. And I think that there's a chance he could get to that point. I think he's listed 6'8". He could be a touch smaller maybe, but he's a big dude. Physical, can play in the paint, can rotate on wings. He's pretty fast for his size. I think he's a kind of jack of all trades, maybe a master of none, but he does everything well.
What do you think of the offense generally? Do you think he's going to be like a big time handler? He was like pretty unassisted at the rim. And you mentioned the long twos. I mean, less than 20% of his long two attempts were unassisted. Do you think there's some like hidden upside with him that.
Dude, most definitely. Like, I don't know if you watched much Iowa State. Like, people probably did because they're a good team, but like the offense is disgusting, to be honest. Like, this, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, everyone likes Lipsey, like in college basketball sphere. Like, just quite honestly, not really my guy. Like, having a 5 foot nothing guard who can't shoot, like really just stymies an offense. And then they had the guy who got drafted this year who's, made a team. What's his name? It's escaping me right now. He's pretty good. I think I had him number 56 on my big board.
This year, I'm also blanking. I did not watch a whole ton of Iowa State.
Jones? Yeah, he was good. Like, but a lot of it was also unassisted, like self-created, and the offense like used all of the shot clock. Like, he had to take some of those unassisted silly rim attempts, and like he's pretty good at them. So maybe like as a driver slasher, there's something there.
Yeah, he's definitely one of he was the guy that you sent that popped out to me. Like, where do you think he slots in the scheme of this draft?
It's really tough because like I've been seeing people's preseason big boards and stuff like that, and like I'm nowhere close to that. But like in terms of like a grade, I would say that he's worth a draft pick. He's someone who you could give like a guaranteed contract to, would be what I would say. So, taking him somewhere between 35 and 45, I think that makes sense. And it just came back to me. The guy on Iowa State's Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones. That's embarrassing. I should know that. But the two of them, I thought, really carried a lot of the load offensively, despite them having like all American point guard. So I think Jefferson will be really interesting to see this year, to see if like really that shot could develop.
I mean, I thought he was by far their best player last year. Just the well-roundedness and the defensive acumen of him. I mean, he's like the best defensive playmaker on the team, and he was doing so much heavy lifting in that department. He's not like a slouch athlete, but like 13 dunks on the year is kind of a small number. I think there's some things you can point to with that.
Yeah, so like Iowa State has this big man with the hair, like the big crazy hair. He's like in there all the time, like standing there all the time.
Jackson,
Is that
DeSean Jackson.
Oh, DeSean Jackson won, and then the backup as well. He's a transfer from somewhere. It's escaping me. But yeah, the paint's very clogged in that system. I think that it's tough for guys to get and generate rim touches because they're not threats to pop out and shoot.
And Iowa State, as far as like 2-point scoring, was around 36, but I think a lot of that was juiced by their bigs. Like, there was definitely some finishing suppression with him. I think he could be like a first round pick at the end of the year.
Dude, I'd love to see it. I don't think I could get a date of birth for him. He like I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but like he's the kind of guy who you would want to take a chance on, like in the back half of the first round. I could get on board with that. It's just I keep hearing about how deep this incoming class is. And everyone's got their crush on some of these returners who I'm not quite as high on, I guess. But no names yet. But yeah, I could see that range for him for sure.
Do you want to move on to the next guy?
Yeah, let's
I
do it. So the second guy is a guy who I probably don't think would have gotten drafted or maybe not even a contract this year, but he was a name that was like circling around draft Twitter last year, and pretty controversially. It's Nolan Winter, the big from Wisconsin. He's kind of a fake 7-footer, I would guess. Like, I don't think he's quite that tall. Really good range to step out and shoot. Shows a good scoring touch. The obvious concerns in the profile as soon as you pull it up are everything defensively for a big. If you want to start to go into that, Finn.
Yeah, I mean, he's at like a 2.1 block percentage. I know like people don't like reading off the numbers. He's not very technically sound. He does struggle on the low block, and that's just unfortunate. There's also some like j just like blanket athleticism stuff. The dunk figure's not great, but like this is like one of my favorite names you sent me because the offensive profile, man. Like, I mean, this is an incredibly well-rounded offensive player.
Yeah, and I think that Wisconsin's defensive scheme focuses a lot on like switching and pushing the ball to the corner, making teams use all 30 seconds on the shot, settling for a bad shot instead of, funneling to the rim to a protector to try to get a block because they don't really have guys like that. So maybe like he could be better in a different system, but like I'm not going to sit here and try to correct you and say that he's a good athlete or anything like that. He shows like decent footwork out on switches onto like the corner and the perimeter, like maybe decent, but you wouldn't really want him playing that role in the NBA. But he's on here because a guy at his size with that offense profile, I think is worth a look. You see a lot of people talking about Condon as an All-American, as a first-round pick, and I don't think Winter's offensive profile is far off, if not better.
He was like way better offensively, I think, last year. Now that I'm looking at it, like he shot, he was like at a basically 1.05 points per possession on spot ups. Like that's just an incredibly high number. A lot of, and him shooting close to 80% at the rim, relying so much on spot ups. He was also like a good role man. Like this is a very versatile offensive player. He was like a very high level offensive rebounder as well, which for like these some of these low block, like questionable athleticism bigs, that's not really typical of them, but he was very good at that. Yeah, just generally like very efficient across the board, sat at 66 true shooting, and most of his plays came out of spot of possession this year at a, as a 7-footer. Like that's a really good number for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he could do pretty much whatever you ask of him offensively. Like his rolling and finishing touch is really, really good. And he makes pretty seamless decisions with the ball. Everything just boils back down to the defense, which you hope takes a massive leap this year. I don't think he was like a really high level recruit. I'm pretty sure he's from somewhere out in the Midwest and, came in, put a lot of weight on. His dad might have been an NBA player, actually, if I think about it now. But he's impressive. I think that if Wisconsin's good, he's good. Defense is okay. He could get drafted.
Yeah, I don't have his age relative to his class, but like just a really high level decision maker on offense. The defense is like pretty interesting actually, because they were, out of all NCAA teams, they were 328th in block percentage, which is like an untenable number. But I think you're right that they weren't positioning him in the right spots. The priors with him are like also not good as a shot blocker though. In fact, like it's pretty jarring how debilitating of a shot blocker he is, even with the system. But like this is definitely like an end of the draft look. He's like very coordinated for his size.
Oh,
He
yeah.
like
Oh, yeah.
he'll put up a reverse layup, like double clutch reverse layup, that you just aren't, 7-footers should not be able to do that. Like he is elite as far as like lateral athleticism for a 7-footer, but it's still just up in the air where you put him defensively in the NBA.
Yeah, totally agreed. I think we're on the same page there. The next guy I wanted to touch on was really kind of coming on strong in the early portion of last season, and then Mick Cronin decided he wanted to let Tyler Bilodeau shoot like contested 20 footers on every offensive possession. But anyways, we've got Eric Daley Jr. He's a versatile big wing, and that's exactly what you want in the modern NBA. Big, strong, able to shoot. Where are the question marks? He just doesn't get used enough. What do you think, Finn?
Dude, I had Eric Daley like lottery at one point in the season. He was
Me
just,
too.
he was so good. I mean, even the profile at the end of the year, still really good defensive playmaker. He's a huge dude. 6'8", just like brawny as well. Like, not like Bronny James, but like he has brawn to him. He was so productive to start the year. One of the winningest players in college basketball. His net rating to start the season, I think, was like something in the 40s. Just an incredible, incredibly winning player. I do not know why they decided to go away from him. That was seriously one of the dumbest decisions. in college basketball all
It's
year?
crazy. I think there was a game towards the end of the non-conference, maybe like against a big opponent, where he got in foul trouble or something like that. And then Bilodeau literally took over, and I think he scored 20 something points, and he just decided he was the guy from that point on. If you don't know who Tyler Bilodeau is, he's a transfer from somewhere else in the Pac-12, formerly maybe Oregon State or something. He's like big, interesting, good jump shooter. It's kind of about it. Yeah, that's not how I'd like to see UCLA go this year. Daly should be running the show. And now that they've got someone who maybe doesn't qualify as under the radar, Donovan Dent running the show, you gotta think that Daly has a chance to pop.
I actually like Dent, and I think we've talked about this before. Like, I only think that'll do good things. It just is a matter of Daly playing. Like, they really let him go in the back half of last season, and I just it doesn't make any sense to me. It net rating is like one of the more important indicators for me as far as like translating winning basketball from the NCAA to then, especially in like a good situation. Daly was an outlier across all of college basketball and just winning, really. And he still managed to be efficient and like kind of a weird offensive context for him. They were relying on him like pretty heavily to start the year. And so I hope they just do more of that. Like you said, UCLA was like a really good defense last year. They were 15th in the country. And I think, again, a lot of that had to do with Daly as well. Great defensive playmaker, kind of fouls a decent amount, which like I guess the coach would be like, that's an argument to not play him. That's stupid. That's never a reason not to play him as much as you can. And then like I think the rebounding was a lot better to start the year. Then it got a trail off, trailed off a decent bit, but like this was just a big decision. And a lot of this has to do with like his playing time. I think it was just really strange what happened
Yeah,
this year.
I think in my first iteration of my board, it might have been December or January. I think I had him lotto. And just the lack of usage and like confidence that they sort of showed in him down the stretch was perplexing. So you got to wonder if there's something else there, but we don't know. So like, what is there to speculate? Like the player we see on the screen and the player we see on paper is very interesting.
Yeah, I think this is a player that could like I again, this draft is so deep that like last year was kind of just like we were clawing at the board for depth, but like this year it's just a different beast. I think with this profile or the profile he had to start the year, I don't know, like top 40 at the least, probably like maybe higher, but
Yeah, just out of like, size, strength, positional scarcity, like there's not many dudes who could do the things he does. Like he's probably never going to be like a star or anything like that. No one's asking for that, but he could be a highly useful rotation NBA player.
I totally agree. The next guy you had was Malik Thomas out of San Fran.
Have you ever heard of him? That's the question.
This was one of the names that I was just like, I have no idea.
Malik Thomas, he's transferring to UVA this year. He was probably their biggest profile collegiate transfer. They have a really big high profile Euro player coming in as well. So the team should be pretty good, but Malik Thomas is little, bouncy, and shoots the cover off the ball. Makes very, very difficult shots. San Fran's offensive scheme just allowed him and Marcus Williams, I don't know, he was once upon a time a draft Twitter darling, to just shoot whenever they felt like it. And it actually worked. They're a pretty good team. Malik Thomas, actually a threat to get to the rim too, unlike Williams, where he had a lot of success. Like, I think that his at rim was like pretty good relative to someone of his size. And, that speaks to his relatively decent athleticism. And with someone who can shoot that well, stepping up to high major ball, I think he's someone really to watch, on a team that should be good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this, when I looked at his profile, it's like I'm kind of shocked that I hadn't heard of him before. Like, obviously, the defensive playmaking was like pretty rough. All of the athleticism indicators are pretty middling, but like the self-creation was really eye-popping to start. The amount of responsibility that these handlers have, and just like going down the board, these are the types of players that just tend to outperform their value. Not the highest volume passer, and I don't know exactly what the length is, but like a really high level foul drawer. The rim scoring was kind of concerning, but then you look at like the shooting touch, he shot 85 plus percent from the line, was taking 9.5 threes per 100 possessions, just like a real shooter with a lot of self-creation equity. So I like this name a lot. I will admit I have not watched
He's
any
worth a
Malik
watch.
Thomas.
Like he's really fun. Like the profile sort of speaks to exactly what he is. Like he'll take you off the dribble, step back, pull up. Like it's effortless. And it's going to be really interesting to see him at Virginia, where you think of having a pretty traditional system and how he operates there. Because like you said, the passing volume, who knows? But he's also playing on the USF Dons. So I think he's one to watch just because he could be like a nuclear level shooter.
Yeah, and they were like 92nd in the country with him being like extremely high usage this year. It was all him. By far the highest usage on the team. And like, I would be interested in seeing this at a better. That 3-point volume at their pace is kind of insane. Also, just their regular 3-point rate numbers are very low for.
He was the guy.
Yeah, this was. That's pretty interesting, actually. They were f first in opponent 3-point shooting. The defense could be really rough with him.
Hopefully UVA schematically could hide that a little bit, but like as a draft prospect, like that's not really something you can overcome necessarily, but like you could see how you could function in a better system.
Yeah, I agree. This is a name to watch for sure.
We could transition to another relatively small guard, and this is the guy who I was alluding to earlier, as maybe not being under the radar anymore, but maybe that's just in our circle. But we got Christian Anderson from Texas Tech. Really, really came on the second half of last season, when their lead guard, who he was much better than, got hurt. I think Anderson could be also one of the best shooters in college basketball, in addition to being extremely active everywhere else.
Yeah, speak a little bit. I've seen people bring up Schroeder as like a proxy for him. Do you feel like that's warranted at all?
Like the energy level, like for sure. He's active in passing lanes, he's active on traps, he's everywhere. And that's just sort of how they play their defensive system, and he's kind of perfect for it. But you want someone who cares and who's able to operate like 110% all the time, especially in an undersized guard. So you think that they could have a shot of defending successfully at the next level. And the offense, like I said, I'm pretty sure in high school he was like the best shooter in the class as well, according to some people.
Yeah, his priors are insane as a shooter. And I mean, just the percentage of his shot profile that is threes, I think he's a close to a 73-point rate. This is a nuclear shooter. And it's not just a nuclear shooter with like just that. He has touch in the middle of the floor. He shot close to 50% on long twos. I think he's going to shoot better from the line next year, just looking at the shooting profile and its totality. Also, like, yeah, this is very high field player as well, very turnover averse. This is one of the guys that like our community, I guess, likes to miss on because the playmaking volume is bad and the hand throws are sort of middling, but that 3-point volume plus the feel is absurd.
Yeah, so like we could talk about that a little bit. Like in context, he wasn't the team's true point guard for most of the season. So that's like why that number is abysmal relative to what you would want to see from someone who you consider a lead guard prospect. And maybe he is like an off-ball guard prospect, a combo prospect. Like I don't know, this just popped into my hand. Like what if he's McCain? He's not as big, he's not as good at rebounding, but like the nuclear shooting and at that size and defensive instinct and feel, maybe. But he is going to get an opportunity to run the show this year. So I would like to see the playmaking numbers come up and then everyone can get on board.
I mean, that stretch from January to like the end of end of February into March was like pretty absurd. And you're absolutely right. Like his profile kind of mimics McCain's in that like his end of the season run was like very, very good. I don't know exactly what he shot from three at a face, but I remember it being like a pretty insane number.
Oh, he played his way into that draft selection like down the stretch 100%. And you know, the Twitter community was a little bit late moving him up there because of it. So, you know, maybe don't make the same mistake twice.
He's in my like 30 to 40 group right now on my board. I love it, man. Like this is he's also like this is reflected in like his unassisted percentage, but like very high level shot creator. Just the amount of like curls and stuff that he came off of this year was like it was a bevy of them. But I think we could see like in the way that I think the Pistons are probably going to benefit more from Duncan Robinson this year to Malik Beasley. I think that Anderson provides that sort of value where he can come off that initial action, but then he can put the ball on the floor, take a couple of dribbles, and then rise up. Like that's one of his superstar
Absolutely.
skills. So like, yeah, this is a really good name. I was really happy that you had him here.
Yeah, I wrote about him a little bit on the Substack as well as like one of my top returners, Daly, was on there as well, and as well as this next guy who's definitely like under the radar. This is Jacob Kofi, and he played last season at UVA. I heard from people like relatively like around the program that he sort of, not that I have those types of connections, but like through the grapevine, I guess, that he thought he was a one and done. And if you look at the non-con, it actually might have been. And then, you know, they started playing some other teams. The Ron Sanchez experiment started running out of steam. And he really fell off the face of the earth. So that, you know, leads him to transferring along with eight other power forwards to USC to play for Musselman this year. I think his profile's, it's funny in ways, right? Like if you look at like the splits, it's crazy how good he played against bad teams and bad he played against good teams and how good he played in non-con and bad he played in ACC. And maybe, but maybe he's also young and was playing in a dysfunctional environment. And, you know, if you look at him, I think he's probably actually like 6'9", 6'10". He's big. I saw him play in person this past season. Jumps out of the gym, blocks everything, or at least tries to block everything, which maybe to his detriment a little bit. Will try to dunk from anywhere and is a relatively confident shooter for how not good he was this past season, but I think he has a really interesting athletic profile at his size and a small sample of really good performances and could be someone to watch you know, in a new place this year.
His BPM at the beginning of the season was like it was like at 10, and like even if you look at till the end of December, I mean he was at like a 7 block percentage, almost a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, as you said, like one of the best profiles that year. There were some people that like some like stats based people that were like, is this what's going on with this? He's shooting 70% at the rim and 86 plus percent from the line. What are we doing? And then as soon as he hit conference games, like this was just like it was like a meteor, man. He's got like a he's got a 0.1 BPM against top 50 teams. He shot 36.5% true shooting. Like I think there's something, but
You know, it's the type of guy that like the community would write off as not a prospect based on the top 50 games. I'm telling you, he's worth a look. That's one of my takes of the day is that surrounded by better players and a more reliable, hopefully, system with more continuity and a year under his belt, I think he's going to be worth a look.
I think you may be right. It's just a matter of like, even when he was productive, he was shooting outlier well from everywhere, and the foul drawing was still poor. What do you rely on when the shot's not falling on offense? And then also, like, the defense just completely fell off a cliff. I think you're right to give this a look because of how good the profile was in the beginning of the season. Same way, like people kind of tapered off Demon last year, which, you know, you can argue whether it's right or wrong. I think I probably had Demon too low, even if I think that like he's getting a bit overhyped. But like, yeah,
Like
this
he
is worth a
might be an
look.
NBA player, which is better than what I thought. So maybe I'd take the L there, but time will tell. But anyways, like it's not like UVA's non-con was the same as BYU's non-con.
Yeah.
Like UVA played some decent teams. So I think he's worth a look. And the number seven is one of the last guys I wrote in my Substack on returners as well, who a lot of people probably haven't heard too much about. It's true like rolling lob center defense, like you know drop. His name's Miles Rubin from Loyola Chicago. And if you haven't taken a look at his profile, like just pull up his BART and have a laugh. Like, I think he had the most dunks in college basketball, or maybe close to it.
I think it was either him or Malawach, if I remember.
Oh, that would make sense. One of them went top. Whatever. Malawach went.
Was Kalkbrenner, Malawach, Ruben.
Okay, so pretty good company. He blocks like everything. Their defensive scheme was basically to feed him to Ruben and like let them get a rim attempt and he'll just stuff it or create like a terrible look. He actually has a pretty similar profile freshman to sophomore year, which was a little bit disappointing to me. I didn't see too much improvement. Especially at like sort of the mid-major level, you would like hope for a jump. And also I was hoping in terms of his body that he would develop more. Like he's big, tall, long, but skinny. And super bouncy, as you could tell from the profile. If he could put on like 15 to 20, I think he's like a legit backup center prospect.
He's so interesting because this was a name that popped up last year in those Malawach queries. I was like, this is a name I remember. He shoots like 72% effective field goal percentage, and he shoots close to 80% at the rim, but he has like some far two volume. And then you look at the free throw and it's like, what's going on? What's the discrepancy between the two? He shot sub 50% from the line, which is just like non-NBA player
Pretty
stuff.
unacceptable, yeah.
Like, I think Caldwell was also there, but Caldwell, like, he brought like other things to the table defensively, and the rebounding was just so elite that you had to give him a look, and I think he might actually be good. But like, Ruben is like the tier below that in all those aspects, and he kind of like, as you mentioned, with so much of the defensive responsibility being on him, you wish the steal numbers were a bit better. And that even if they were going to use him and drop, like
Poke
if the
something
t
out, yeah.
yeah, if the touch was that bad, you need one other thing. And that's the question with him. Can he bring that this year?
Yeah, like if you watch him take a free throw, the arc is like it's like if you taught someone who never played basketball, you're like, oh yeah, shoot a rainbow. Like it's awful. I don't know how or why that happens because like the touch around the rim doesn't look too terrible, but it's just all dunk volume. Like, he dunks everything or tries to dunk everything, and he jumps so high that it's like easy for him to finish. Like, I'd be interested to see like what happens to the other two volume this season. And I like you said, like he doesn't have everything that you want, but I think he has the most important things that you want out of like a two-way or UDFA center prospect, and like I haven't heard him discussed once except maybe Bryce Hendricks. I think Bryce Hendricks brought him up Once Upon a Time Ago, but he's getting like no motion, and I think he's one to watch.
Yeah, I think for sure. If he brings either a steal percentage bump or like, I mean, he dunked 47% of his rim twos, which it's a lot. But I think you're right that like there's a weird discrepancy between like the jumper and his touch at the rim. I think
Right.
there is a chance that like by the grace of God, he's a free throw leap, maybe. But yeah, this is an interesting one. Your next name is one of my favorites, and I
Oh,
would
dude,
just.
probably actually a higher level backup center prospect. It's James Scott. You could actually take the lead here, Finn. Go ahead.
Dude, like sick offensive rebounder, good defensive playmaking, like kind of middling block percentage, and he fouls a lot, but whatever. Also the touch stuff, but like, dude, he shot 76% effective field goal percentage, another high dunk rate guy, shot above 80% at the rim, but he brings it in the foul drawing, the steals. Like he was Louisville's defense last year, and he's gonna do it again, like with Mykal Brown going there. I'm like kind of concerned about that whole team, really, with Wooley and Mikel. But anyways, I really don't have to worry about it because of how good he is defensively.
Yeah, it's actually crazy too because he would have gotten no minutes last year or like much less if Keshon Pryor didn't tear his ACL in like the second game of the season, and everyone's like, "Oh God, what are they going to do defensively? Like Pryor is like a dog." And he is. I love Pryor. But Scott was probably better than you would have hoped for, like in terms of overall activity. Maybe not true block percentage, but like he was it the anchor? Like he carried them to the NCAA tournament on like look at like the wings that they had. Like they had Noah Waterman out there like guarding ACC wings. Like he made that work. Like that's crazy.
And you can run him in multiple coverages, which is just like so cool. Like he has really good hands. I just don't understand. Like you have to shoot above 44% from the line, and you're like the cognitive ability to like swipe down on a ball is like half of shooting. Like when people are like talking about guys taking free throw leaps, like half of it is like good defensive playmakers make shooting leaps because that. Getting a steal is much harder than shooting above 50% from the line. Like, why can't you do that? I just don't
It
understand.
it's crazy. And he's so coordinated too, right? Like you would think that, with his ability to grab rebounds out of the sky, like anywhere, he could like put his hands together and, flick his wrist, but maybe not. But I think he's definitely an interesting, you're always looking for guys like that in the back half of the draft or not probably later than that, like more in E10 like two-way territory to be like, hey man, just like eat some minutes, like don't be bad on defense, like don't get carved up and don't turn the ball over. There you go.
And this is why lineup numbers suck. Like he was above like a he was like 35 plus net rating, and it still says that this team was like better defensively with him off. That is stupid. That is a dumb thing to know. You the this team
Yeah.
would have
They
been dead
were,
without him.
yep. Same page.
Yeah.
And we could transition to from like the two big guys to pretty little guy. I've got Mikey Lewis here from St. Mary's. He probably came up in everyone's queries probably to like three quarters of the way through the season on like the shooting metrics, the 3-point volume. And it sort of started to taper a little bit too, but he wasn't really the lead handler for them. He was I think he played at Prolific and was like lead handler for them, and he had some pretty good priors, like was a high level recruit for St. Mary's, and I think he's going to get much more of a shot this year. But three quarters of the way through the season, like he's coming up on everyone's BART being like, who is this guy? And I'll tell you, like he was playing off ball a lot, asked to spot up shoot a lot, did so pretty well. But I think that with the high school sample and, his general, feel and athleticism and playing in that system, he'll be better this year. And I'm excited to see whether he can replicate his shooting numbers on volume.
Yeah, this was just a name that I had straight up had not heard prior to you sending this to me. But once you bring it up, I do remember him being on like the he has like some weird assisted turnover stuff. And I was doing a query for like high steal, low foul, and that's where he came up. I think the passing numbers for a 6'3" guy are like just kind of disqualifying. Having said that, you mentioned the 3-point volume. It's not only high volume, he's shooting like close to 40% on that volume, and he is, if any other part of this profile comes through, like he was also like ridiculously bad at the rim, which is something
Yeah,
that just,
that was really bad. Like,
yeah.
I think it's because he's like small, weak freshman, in a conference where they don't really call fouls at the rim. The physicality there was like pretty palpable, but like, I think he's gonna get the opportunity to handle the ball a lot more with their ball handlers moving on, and we'll get to see some of the playmaking pop, and we'll see if he could replicate the shooting, which was on high volume, excuse me, but like in a more broad-based sample. I think he had a lot of assisted threes. I'd like to see some unassisted threes before I declare him nuclear.
Yeah, the volume, like per 100 possessions is just crazy, but a lot of that has to do with it's just this is another one of the names that you sent that like their guard defense was so bad and yet their team's defense was good. Like that just like it's like a pretty bad data point for him. Even if they were better on the court with him on, which they were, like
Yeah, because he like created a decent amount of turnovers.
yeah, I just think that being that small, I think there's a chance that like we see some weight gain and
Yeah.
like this team does not shoot any threes. They were 322nd in
It's
the
literally
nation.
just him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's gonna have to do all of the 3-point stuff for them. So I think we are gonna see some more unassisted stuff.
And the last guy talking about threes and nothing else, maybe. We've got Tyler Nickel, who was like a pretty high level recruit, went to UNC and then did nothing, and as a lot of UNC recruits do, and then went to Virginia Tech and was better. And then, at Vanderbilt, I thought like the offensive profile for a guy of his size and like the skill level, like he can actually dribble. He can actually create a little bit. Like I think is quite interesting. Obviously, like the rebounding and overall defensive activity is like not great, but like for a shooting specialist, like we have shooting specialists at that size in the NBA. I think he's, one who could be on the radar.
Yeah, another winning player, 22 plus net rating or 20 plus net rating. He had one of the weirdest passing profiles I think I've ever seen from like a Bart era prospect. He had a 6.7 assist percentage, a 6 turnover percentage. So like very turnover averse, but no passing volume at all. And that's why assisted turnover is like a basic stat, kind of doesn't do anything for me. But yeah, like again, another guy that you sent though just was like a crazy shooter and someone like adversely to like not adversely to Lewis, but like he had some creation stuff in the middle of the floor, but still like no unassisted volume from three, which if you can forecast more offensive responsibility, I mean, movement shooters at the end of the draft are like very sought after, I think.
Yeah, like definitely. I think he's like it just looks good when he shoots it. Sometimes like you feel that way. Like I'm like, oh shoot, like he's open in the corner, that's cash. Like, and it usually is. He's really, really good at what he does. I'd like to see like the opportunity for an expanded role, but like I don't know if that's gonna happen at Vanderbilt. But if he continues to put up those types of numbers, like I think at his size and length, like It's worth at least a look either way.
Yeah. I think there's a trend of these guys that like you can forecast more offensive responsibility plus like a super skill, most of them being shooting. Yeah, man. I mean, that 3-point volume is crazy. Like he really wasn't putting up anything else though.
Yeah.
So
But no, those are like the 10 names that just like when we were talking on Twitter, we were like, oh, maybe we'll do something on like under the radar returners. Like I just scrapped together pretty quickly. Like this is not like a comprehensive list. Like omitting someone doesn't mean I like don't think highly of them. But like, I just think I hadn't heard much love for these guys. So I kind of wanted to show them a little love.
yeah, and I think these are draftable guys, specifically Christian Anderson and James Scott. They're going to get at least two-way looks, and I think Christian could really pop off this year.
Yeah, I think Jefferson and Daly too.
Oh,
If
yeah,
I were to
Jeff.
pick two others that like were pretty surefire to get a look, just based on their size and skill levels.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Jefferson's probably the name to go first round out of all of these guys. Or do you think there's a different name?
I mean, it could be Anderson.
It could be. Yeah, it's one.
Well,
I should have said
I would
Jefferson.
say it's one of those two. Like let's say like he puts Texas Tech on his back, like wins a bunch of games in March, like drops 27 on like six threes. Like who knows? He could Shabazz himself. Like anything is possible, and he's actually a good player. So I, those two I think have the highest like draft ceiling or the highest likelihood of being draft selections. But I think everyone's worth a look.
Yeah, for sure. I think all these names are. I appreciate this episode like a lot because I think that we're so used to like, okay, we go from podcast to podcast hearing like the same 20 names and it gets repetitive throughout the season. These are guys that like you would not have heard of had Sam not been on the show. So I appreciate you
Dude,
taking
this
the time.
is it's what I love, man. So I'm happy to be here, happy to have your platform, and always appreciate hanging out.
Yeah, man. Is there anything else you want to shout out before we get out of here?
You can follow me on Twitter at double underscore PG. I think my Substack is linked in there. I've been like really busy at real life work, so I've just not been doing anything, but I'm like committed to grinding in the next couple of months, getting back there with the start of the season. So if you could throw me a follow, show me some love, I interact with everyone, so.
Yeah, man, go give Sam a follow. I'm sure we're going to see some incredible stuff from him this cycle as he did last cycle. With that, I'll have everything from him in the description. Thank you, Sam, for being on the show today. I'm glad we finally got this done. This is sick. But yeah, this was episode 13 of the Double Bonus.